The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of Lexington Community Radio or its board of directors. The views expressed are solely those of the programmers.
You are listening to Off the Cuff. Now, here's your host, Adam Banks.
Welcome, everybody, to Off the Cuff. I am Adam Banks coming at you live from Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for tuning in to WLXU 93.9 FM. In addition to listening to us on the radio, you can check out our Facebook live stream at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, or you can stream the show live from the station website at radiolex.us. I am broadcasting from the Deborah Hensley Studios here at Radio Lex on North Limestone. It is January the 25th, 2024, 4:01 to be exact. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We are live and we are in color. I want to start the show off with some very exciting news. I don't know if you follow Off the Cuff with Adam Banks on social media or myself on social media, but if you don't, I just found out the other day, I'm thinking it was maybe on Monday I figured this out, Tuesday, around that time, I was notified that Adam Banks, have been nominated by the Lexington Music Awards for Best DJ, and I just am ecstatic over that because I think I'm on nobody's radar, and I am just thankful to everybody that nominated me. I didn't even know you were doing it. I have asked around everybody. I'm like, did you nominate me? Did you nominate me? Did you nominate me? And everybody says, no, no, no. I appreciate the honesty, because you could have told me a lie and said yes, and I would have thought it was you. But thank you to everyone who nominated Off the Cuff with Adam Banks for Best Radio DJ. I am ecstatic about that. The award show is in March. I've never been to an award show before. Always wanted to go to one. Always loved watching them on TV. Award shows, to me, are the epitome of entertainment. At an award show, you've got entertainment like music. You've got performances. You've got glitz and glamour and people dressing up. It's just a really cool event that I think award shows are, and every industry has them. The music industry, the acting industry, and I am so glad to be a part of the Lexington Music Awards award show this year, and it's the 10th annual. The 10th annual award show for Lexington. So congratulations also to all of the other nominees, the people that were also included in my category, Dead Air Dennis, Kenny Cummings, and Deidre, who is also a DJ here in Lexington. They're all radio hosts here in Lexington, and I am just honored to be in the same company as you guys. But folks, one thing that I have to start preparing for if I win, right? If I win, is an acceptance speech, because I hate it when people like to go to award shows blind when they say, I wasn't expected to win, so I don't know what to say. You have an idea, you may win, so wouldn't you try to at least prepare a little bitty something? Even though you know in your head you're not going to win, you know in your heart, you should at least have something prepared. And it made me start going back through all of these award shows through history. And I started looking up all of these award show speeches that people give. And sometimes people give great award acceptance speeches and they bomb them. They're terrible. They're terrible award speeches. And then sometimes people use that platform to accept an award as a platform to get their message across, whether it's controversial or not. So I started, as I was looking through all of these award acceptance speeches, I found some pretty controversial award acceptance speeches, and that's what I want to share with you guys on this first segment, because I couldn't believe how controversial some of these acceptance speeches were. And an award acceptance speech usually is a time for people to go up, thank those who was a part of the award, thank those who got them to their journey. But instead, the following people on this list that I'm about to play for you guys use the platform to make it controversial and to spew out their political agenda or their personal belief. So this list here that I have created is the most controversial award acceptance speeches of all time. And we are going to start way back in the time machine, back in 1973 at the Academy Awards, the granddaddy of them all when it comes to award shows. Marlon Brando, who played The Godfather in the movie The Godfather, he won an Academy Award for Best Actor. And when he was nominated, he was the favorite to win. He didn't even show up to the Oscars, but instead he sent a Native American up on stage to refuse the Oscar in front of everybody. So you'll see here in this clip that this lady, she's an Apache girl named Sachin Littlefeather, to protest Hollywood's representation of Native Americans at the time. He felt like that Native Americans wasn't being represented well in Hollywood, so he refused. Marlon Brando refused to accept the award, so instead he sent a Native American up on stage to refuse the Oscar, which had never been done before. Folks, take a listen at this controversial moment back in 1973 at the Academy Awards.
Hello, my name is Sachin Littlefeather. I'm Apache, and I'm president of the National Native American Affirmative Image Committee. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you in a very long speech, which I cannot share with you presently because of time, but I will be glad to share with the press afterwards, that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award. And the reasons for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry. Excuse me.
You can tell the audience wasn't liking this.
And on television, in movie reruns, and also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee. I beg at this time that I have not intruded upon this evening, and that we will, in the future, our hearts and our understandings will meet with love and generosity. Thank you on behalf of Marlon Brando.
There you go, folks. Talk about really taking a stand for what you believe in. You actually were the favorite to win. You did win, and you didn't show up because you wanted to send a message. And I believe that that sent a message. Okay, coming up next on the list is one of the most controversial award acceptance speeches of all time. Comes from Michael Moore at the Academy Awards in 2003, when he won an Oscar for Best Film, for Best Documentary. It was Fahrenheit 9/11. Now, Michael Moore, what makes this so controversial is because this was just 2 years after the U.S. crashed headfirst into the War on Terror. The U.S. population was just beginning to wake up to the disastrous, bloody the land that we became. I mean, we were in the dead of war in 2003, and I remember when this film came out, it was very controversial. It was talking about 9/11 being an inside job from the Bushes. So Michael Moore pulled no punches when he accepted his award speech and said this about our current sitting president, George W. Bush. Take a listen.
Because we like nonfiction. We like nonfiction, and we live in fictitious times. We live in a time where we have fictitious election results that elects a fictitious president. We live in a time where we have a man sending us to war for fictitious reasons, whether it's the fictitious of duct tape or the fictitious of orange alerts. We are against this war, Mr. Bush. Shame on you, Mr. Bush. Shame on you. And anytime you've got the Pope and the Dixie Chicks.
And they played him off, the famous playoff that award shows like to do. But everybody was just sitting there with such discomfort because of, it's not the time and place to bring politics in. Yeah, regardless of how big your platform is, it was just bad taste. Okay, next on the list, folks, as one of the most controversial award acceptance speeches, comes from the VMAs in 2009 when Taylor Swift won an award for Best Music Video of the Year, and she was nominated against pretty talented people, Beyonce being one of them. She had a video out, Beyonce did, called Single Ladies. And it was a very popular video, a really good video, probably should have won. But instead, the award went to Taylor Swift. Hey, sometimes people who win awards, it don't always go to who deserves them. But in this situation, Taylor Swift won the award, beat Beyonce. So when she went up to accept her award, she's up there talking, and she's only up there for about 30 seconds until Kanye West jumps up on stage from the audience to steal her moment. He interrupts her just to tell her, hey, congrats, I'm going to let you finish talking, but I just want to let everybody know that Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. And it didn't go over well.
Music, so thank you so much for giving me a chance to win a VMA award.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
And he hands the mic back to her, and she's just standing there and has no idea what to say. Even the president at the time, Barack Obama, called Kanye West a jackass for doing that on national TV. And he was. I think that didn't do Kanye any favors when he did it, but it definitely made for a controversial acceptance speech. Okay, one more to let everybody hear. Out of the many different speeches that I was hearing, I felt like this one was pretty controversial. This last one that I'm going to play is from the 2013 Golden Globes, and that is when Jodie Foster used her acceptance speech as the platform to come out as gay. And it had always been rumored that Jodie Foster was a lesbian, but not many people knew that for a fact. So Jodie Foster used the Golden Globes to finally come out, and what better place to do it in front of millions of people, right? It's live, millions of people are watching, all of your Hollywood peers, all of your acting peers are watching. So this is what happens during Jodie Foster's speech. Take a listen.
So while I'm here being all confessional, and I guess I just have a sudden urge to say something that I've never really been able to air in public, so a declaration that I'm a little nervous about, but maybe not quite as nervous as my publicist right now, huh, Jennifer? You know, I'm just going to put it out there, right? Loud and proud, right? So I'm going to need your support on this. I am single.
Okay, and that was her joke, but she was insinuating her sexual orientation. After her joke, she said that she had already come out years ago to friends and family, but she decided to make it public on the Golden Globe stage because she just wanted to make it known that she was gay. She didn't want to hide it anymore. But that, folks, is the complete list that I found had some pretty controversial award show acceptance speeches. Now, don't worry. If I do win the award, I'm not going to use my platform to get up there and talk about something controversial. But who knows? I mean, that's still 2 months away. Who knows what will happen? But folks, we have a great show ahead of you today. You are listening to Off the Cuff with Adam Banks right here on WLXU 93.9 FM. Stick with us. We will be right back. Everybody to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Most people, when they heard that music, they probably wanted to hear, and this is American Idol. But no, this is not American Idol. This is the theme music, though, to American Idol. I was watching YouTube, which I do on so many long nights. I get lost in YouTube. I was watching the old American Idol auditions. Man, that show used to be good with Paula, Simon, Randy, those three original judges. That's what made the show. And American Idol, I don't know if you remember the pop culture phenomenon it became back when it debuted in 2002, but it took the world by storm. It's because of American Idol that we have shows like America's Got Talent, The Voice. It's because of this show right here, American Idol. And this is the OG theme song of the karaoke show. They have since had other theme music to be attached to this game show or this reality competition show, but this was the original, and I felt like that this one was the best. Now, folks, on this show, we have talked about theme music and we've talked about theme songs, and think about all of the things we've talked about that has a theme song. We've talked about some of the best soap opera theme songs. We've talked about some of the best talk show theme songs. But we've talked about some of the best game show theme songs. But one thing we've never talked about on this show is, yes, we've talked about reality TV and we've talked about reality TV theme songs before, but we've never really talked about reality TV competition shows. And I'm talking about reality competition shows like American Idol. You guys know what I'm talking about. Reality shows that are competition shows. Shows that people go on to compete against one another to win something, like Paradise Island or I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here or Survivor. I'm talking about iconic reality competition shows. They all have theme songs like American Idol. So what I would like to play for the audience is some of the most iconic reality show theme songs of all time, and we'll start with American Idol. This one, I feel like, has to be on the list, maybe at number one, because of the nostalgia memories and the impact that this show had. I feel like that American Idol almost might be the granddaddy of them all when it comes to reality competition shows. So, yes, I'm going to put the American Idol theme on the list at number one. But folks, I have created a list here of some other iconic reality competition show theme songs. And the next one that I'm going to play is from American Gladiators. The composer was Bill Cantia. And American Gladiators is an American competition television program that aired weekly in syndication from September 1989 to May 1996. The series matched a cast of amateur athletes against each other, as well as against the show's own gladiators in contest of strength and agility. Following the success of this show, American Gladiators, other countries began to produce their own versions of the show, just like they did with American Idol. American Gladiators was the competition show of the 80s and 90s. Before American Idol, before anything like that, you had American Gladiators. And what a great tune that came with this theme. They need to bring American Gladiators back, or at least some form of it. But it definitely had a great theme song to it. It's very 80s. It reminds me of old school wrestling, like WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or Survivor Series or the old school NBC primetime on NBC wrestling main events. But this, American Gladiators, was an iconic show. All right, some more iconic reality competition show theme songs. Now, this next one that I'm going to put on the list, a lot of people might say it don't belong because it's not a reality competition show. But you know what, folks? I think it belongs. I think that judge shows, I'm talking shows like the People's Court, Judge Judy, Judge Joe Brown, Judge Joe Mills. I think that those are reality competition shows too, because you got people coming on the shows to compete against one another to win the case. So I feel like that judge shows could fall in the category. That's why the People's Court theme music has to be on this list as one of the most iconic reality competition show theme songs of all time. This theme music is called The Big One, and it was composed by Alan Stanley II. This up-tempo theme music with a prominent piano theme and bongo drum rhythm, listen to this, has been sampled by many artists, including Nelly. Not my Nelly, the other Nelly. It has also been featured in several films and television shows, including the 1977 pornographic film Barbara Broadcast, the 1979 low-budget film Malibu High, Family Guy, Boy Meets World. WWE Raw has even used this theme before. They usually like to use this theme anytime there's a court case happening. It usually shows up in a lot of parodies. But this theme comes from the People's Court, and it was the theme music from 1989 to May of 1996. I'm sorry. It was the theme music from 1981 to 1993. Now, the People's Court might not be the best court show on television, but it definitely, hands down, has the best theme music of any court show on TV. It's because of the People's Court that all of these judge shows exist. They are the ones that catapulted the reality courtroom shows. Such a great theme music. Okay, coming up next on my list is one of the most iconic competition reality show theme songs of all time. Folks, yes, we're going to keep it in the courtroom. We're going to go with Judge Judy. This melody was composed by Bill Bodline, and this theme uses a percussive drum and an ascending melody. It was modified later on throughout the years, but this is the original, and this is the instrumental version of it. Usually you got a voiceover talking over it saying things like, "The cases are real. The people are real. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlin." And the narration would last through this theme music, but I love it. A good balance of fun, exciting, and seriousness. Okay, coming up next, folks, on my list is one of the most iconic reality competition show theme songs of all time. This might be one of the most sought-after competition reality show to get on because so many people wanted to do it. So many people wanted to get on this show because they felt like that they were a survivor. This is the theme music for the reality show Survivor. This music is what is in my head when my electricity goes out. I could only imagine me trying to go into the wilderness and survive. But that's what this show was about. This show was about taking normal people and putting them out in the woods to survive. I mean, come on. I actually know people that could do that. Wade being one of them. But you put me out in the wilderness with no Burger King, Wendy's, Pop. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? Eat? Like, I can't kill my own fish. I can't hunt. I hate to fish. So what am I going to do? I don't know what I would do. But this show really did push people's limits. People really did kind of adapt to their new environment when they became members of this, or cast members of this show. Because you really are plucked out of your normal existence where you've got good heat, good air, hydration, food. you feel good all the time, you have a lot of space, to be put on an island to survive with nothing. I don't even know if they give you clothes on Survivor. Now, there were a few people from Kentucky that got on this show, and I tell you, one of the people from the Kentucky Survivor show cast has recently been in the news lately because he is trying to get a bill passed that you can marry your second cousin in the state of Kentucky. It doesn't make us look good in Kentucky, but needless to say, he was on this show. But Survivor, a great, extraordinary display of human resilience and social maneuvering. But with all of that said, it had one heck of a theme song. I should say that the composer of this theme music was Russ Landoux, and he also not only composed Survivor, but he did other reality competition shows like Fear Factor. So obviously very talented at this kind of work. Okay, coming up next, folks, on the list as one of the most iconic reality competition theme songs of all time is from Big Brother. This theme music was composed by David Vencore and Ken Berry. Big Brother is a reality show competition because it's a psychological experiment that you have people living together in a confined living space where cameras capture their every move. Participants must form strategic alliances and outmaneuver their peers in a bid for survival, as they are subject to periodic evictions because people get evicted all the time. When you get evicted, that means you lose. So the last one standing is the winner. So it's a reality competition show. And it's a psychological show, too. It's been on the air for years. So this theme music is very recognizable. Okay, coming up next on the list, folks, is one of the most iconic reality show competition shows for theme musics of all time. Comes from The Bachelor. Now, this reality show has had several different renditions of its theme music, but I feel like that this one is the best. It's a little bit more upbeat, the tempo is a little faster, because the Bachelor theme music in its beginning started out to be very slow, kind of romantically, just a piano playing, very soft. But this one's, it's still sexy, but it's still upbeat and fast-paced, which I like. And this show's been going on forever, too. The show debuted in 2000. Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. It says here that the show debuted in 2002 on ABC, and it was renewed for a 28th season on May 16th, 2023. And they've since done other things, like little spinoffs. They've done The Bachelorette. They've done The Golden Bachelor, which is like, I've talked about that before. It's where The Golden Bachelor is like a 65, 70-year-old single man looking for love. But I tell you what, people that watch The Bachelor, people that watch this reality show right here, competition reality show, has a cult following. People that watch this show are devoted to it. They don't miss an episode. Howard Stern, one of my favorite radio personalities, is obsessed with The Bachelor. He says he doesn't miss it. Okay, coming up next, folks, on the list is one of the most iconic reality competition theme songs of all time is from Dancing with the Stars. This reality competition show is about celebrities who are just normal celebrities, actors, singers. They're not professional dancers, but they train and compete through a series of breathtaking routines with a professional dancer that's assigned to them. They get assigned a professional dancer to teach them how to dance, and these celebrities compete against one another to win the competition. I don't know why people watch this show. I don't think there would be anything more boring than to watch somebody dance. But hey, different strokes for different folks. Okay, coming up next on the list, folks, is another great reality competition show. And this theme is one of my favorites. It's from So You Think You Can Dance, which has a more hip-hop rap beat to it. Now, this is a reality competition show that actually invites actual dancers on the show to compete against one another. It's not celebrities, it's people who are really talented at dancing. So it's the dance competition show, just like singing is to American Idol. This is the American Idol of dancing, is this show, So You Think You Can Dance. But what a great theme song for it. And I've got one more song on the list, folks, to play for you guys. And the last song on the list that I feel like is one of the best and most iconic reality show competition theme songs of all time comes from America's Got Talent. Now, America's Got Talent has ran for a good, 10, 15 years. And it's been hosted by several people. It started out with Regis Philbin. It had Jerry Springer host for a little bit. It had Nick Cannon host for a little bit. It had Tyra Banks. And now currently you've got Terry Crews hosting it. But Dancing with the Stars is the last song that I will put, or I'm sorry, America's Got Talent is the last song that I'll put on the list. But it looks like that it's not going to play. But just imagine what it would sound like in your head if it did. But that, folks, I feel like is some of the most iconic reality competition theme songs of all time. And there's several that I didn't get to name, but those I feel like are the biggest. Okay, folks, we still have lots more Off the Cuff with Adam Banks coming at you live after these words. Stick with us. We will be right back. Hey! Everybody to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. A star was born this past Saturday in college basketball, or so we thought. I'm talking about the debut of Big Z. He made an impact during his debut game with the Kentucky Wildcats. And listen, it was on my birthday. You had nobody more excited than I was that this news broke that Big Z could play. It was on my birthday, January the 20th, and because it was my birthday, I was going to the game that night. My uncle said, I'm going to take you to the game for your birthday. Thanks, uncle. And what a treat we got when we got there, because we heard the news that Big Z was finally going to be able to play. Now, he is a 7'2" Croatian, and he was just cleared hours before the game started. So he had all this hype surrounding him that he is one of the best players in the world. So somebody who loves college basketball was very, very excited to see him play. And boy, oh boy, did he ever make an impact when he debuted in that game. He made this crazy behind-the-back pass, and I can't remember who he passed it to, and the shot went in, and everybody went crazy. He was blocking everybody. He was dunking, holding on to the rim so long that he was getting technical fouls called on him. He was a beast. And after that game, I was on the hype train. I mean, I was all in. I was sitting there thinking that because of Big Z, Kentucky was back in it, and back in it as a big contender for a Final Four. And I still think that they are into the hunt for a Final Four. I think that they are still very probable to make it to a Final Four. But their very next game after Big Z's debut, they played South Carolina and lost it. And not only lost it, but they lost by a lot. And it just kind of killed the big debut of Big Z. Now, if you guys are wondering why I'm calling him Big Z, his name is Zvonimir Ivicicic. So that's why I call him Big Z, because you don't want me on here trying to say that every time I say his name. But I feel like that, yes, he had a bad game against South Carolina. He only played 5 minutes, by the way, but he had a bad game. But he can do it all. I really do. I think that he is the star player that Kentucky's been waiting for. As a matter of fact, I don't think Kentucky has had a star player since Carl Anthony Towns. And when I say star player, I'm talking about players that you know with that player, with that guy, we can go to a Final Four. Think about all of the All-Stars we did have. Anthony Davis, he was an All-Star. We went to the national championship and won. Carl Anthony Towns, we went to the Final Four with him. I believe that John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins were All-Stars. And we didn't make it to the Final Four, but we knew we could have. We knew we could have won. I think that Big Z is an All-Star, and I think he's the first one we've had since Carl Towns. So with that being said, yes, I do think Kentucky could make it to the Final Four. Now, it's very frustrating because it took 75 days into the season for the NCAA to clear Big Z. Every college basketball fan, including me, we were furious because we felt like we were robbed 16 games of seeing Big Z play. Now, the reason for the holdup is because Big Z played in professional leagues overseas in recent years, but maintained his amateur status. So things got so urgent that Kentucky fans started raising money in the recent weeks to advertise a free Big Z billboard near the NCAA's Eligibility Center. And I tell you what, it worked. The power of Big Blue Nation never ceases to amaze me. And he debuted. He had that crazy debut game against Georgia. He got everybody hyped. He was even shrugging his shoulders like Michael Jordan did when he kept making all of them threes during the Bulls game. And Michael just shrugged the shoulders at the crowd like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just that good. But he had such a great game, and that made everybody jump on the hype train, including myself. But to turn right back around and get beat by South Carolina 79-62 this past Tuesday night, it was a big snag. It was a quick snag for Big Z. And he only logged 10 minutes of the whole entire game. He scored 3 points. One of three. 3-pointers, and South Carolina outscored Kentucky by 13 when Big Z was on the floor as Big Z got his first taste of a hostile college basketball environment. Because Big Z, yes, he's there for all those games, but I don't think he realized the difference that a toxic college, or a hostile, I should say, college environment is while you're playing. Overseas, you might got 12, 13 people watching your game. And if you do have a big crowd, it's not hostile. College basketball in the States can be very hostile. And South Carolina is a very hostile place to play. And Big Z got a taste of it. So hopefully he overcomes that ridiculous complex of being scared or intimidated in a hostile environment and plays better. And it just sucks. It just sucks. It really does that Kentucky had such a great game just to turn around and lose. Because I was on the Final Four train again. But after that loss, I don't know. I'm not jumping off yet. We got to beat Arkansas before I jump off and before I jump off the Big Z hype train. But Big Z, if you are an All-Star, like I say you are, you can't afford many more bad games like this. Because All-Stars, yeah, they have a bad game, but they don't have a lot. All right, folks, we are going to take Off the Cuff's Song of the Week break. So let's listen to a little Tom Luce with Good Day. And when we come back from the song, I'd like to go over who I felt like is some of the best UK basketball players of my lifetime. Stick with us. We'll be right back after the song. Now, there have been many, many great players that have played for the University of Kentucky throughout time. Tony Delk, Wayne Turner, even Goose Gibbons, my man Goose on the radio. Shout out to Goosey. But a ton of great UK basketball players that have played. But a lot of the greats that played for UK was not in my lifetime. So in my lifetime, there are great UK players that I feel like is the best of all time. Now, my list here, I'm going to have a top five, and then I'm going to do an honorable mention. The top five here on my list, in no order, is the best UK players of my lifetime. So if there's somebody on this list or not on this list, don't be freaking out saying, you forgot such and such, you forgot such and such. Well, if they didn't play in my lifetime, they're not on the list. So anybody from 1988 to now is my lifetime. So we'll start the list off with Anthony Davis, hands down. Yes, one of the best players to ever play at UK. He was only here a year, but that's what happens when you're really good. If you're really good, you're only going to be here a year. So just because you didn't play 4 years doesn't mean you're not going to make this list. Anthony Davis, he is on the list. National title winner. Won us a national title. Actually was the last one to do it for us. So Anthony Davis, my man, is on the list. John Wall is on the list as one of the best UK basketball players of my lifetime. John Wall really turned things around when he got here. Yes, John Calipari did. John Calipari, in his first year, he flipped the program back to being the best, back to being on top, but he couldn't have done it without the help of John Wall. John Wall made Kentucky cool again. Kentucky had not been cool for years. We lost our coolness, but John Wall made the team cool again. Devin Booker is going to be on the list. Devin Booker was a pure shooter with boundless range, and he brought his incredible ability to the court every game. Talk about an all-star. He never had bad games. There were nights where he was cold, but he would make up for it in other areas. Karl Anthony Towns is going to be on the list. You can't forget that unbelievable season he gave us in both 2014 and 2015. Just that 1 year in 2014 to 2015 when they went 39-1, where they almost went 40-0. They took us to the Final Four and we got upset by Wisconsin, but we never lost all season. And Karl Anthony Towns was the face of the program at the time. He was the star player of the time. And think about how many people we had on that team. And Karl Anthony Towns was the best. DeMarcus Cousins is going to make the list. I feel like that he was our Shaq at UK. LSU had the actual Shaq, but we had DeMarcus Cousins. And then finally, the honorable mention that I will put on the list as one of the best UK players of my lifetime is the little man, Tyler Ulis, who played for two seasons. What an incredible point guard he was. It was because of Tyler Ulis leading the way as the point guard, being the general of the floor, that we made it to the Final Four, and we went 39-1. And Tyler, it's not every day that somebody with my eye level can play basketball. And it's not every day that somebody that short can be that great and make that big of an impact on the court. And he's now coaching at Kentucky as an assistant. So it's really good to see Tyler still involved in Kentucky athletics. But will Big Z be on this list? Only time will tell. I think he will be. I do. I think he will be. And when we win the national championship this year, that's definitely going to help my argument. But folks, we still have one more segment to go right here on Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Ba 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 ba.
Everybody to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Last segment of the hour. I was going through TikTok the other day and I saw the funniest video. It said, we make fun, it's talking about my generation. It says, my generation makes fun of kids today and all of the silly stuff that they watch on TV. And then it said, meanwhile, in the 90s, I'm sitting here watching this. And it had this song. And it was attached to the Saved by the Bell scene. And I know there's listeners out there that know what I'm talking about. The Saved by the Bell scene when Slater, Screech, and Zach are all dancing at their sleepover to this song, Barbara Ann. The silliest, most corny scene, maybe, in television history comes from my generation. And I loved it. Loved every second of it. Watched it 50,000 times. I've probably seen every episode of Saved by the Bell, no lie, 20 times a piece. And it was corny, and people I know kids today, when they try to watch it, they can't. But it just goes to show that we all think our generation's the best, and we always think everybody else's was the worst, especially the younger generation. I wonder why that is. But folks, before we get out of here, I would like to give the quote of the week. And this week's quote of the week comes from a man named Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn was an American entrepreneur, author, and motivational speaker. And the quote of the week is this: if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. And I love that quote because of the truth of it. Last week, or this past Tuesday, I did a collab show with Renee Collins on Overtones Live, and the theme of the show was addiction and overcoming addiction. And so many people that we had on the show at the panel talking about how they overcome their, whether it was quitting cigarettes, quitting drugs, weight loss. It was fascinating to hear the stories of the panel on that show. And all of those people really wanted to quit. They really wanted to overcome their addiction. So you know what they did? They found a way. It wasn't easy. It was hard. But they found a way. And if you don't really want to quit, if you don't really want to lose the weight, you don't really want to quit drinking, you don't really want to quit smoking, you'll find an excuse. Well, one cigarette a day won't hurt me. One drink won't hurt me. You know, just this. Everybody needs a little weight. You know, so I'm not going to lose that much. You'll find an excuse with everything. But if you really, really want to do something, you'll find a way. You'll find a way to get there. You want a radio show? You'll either do two things. You'll find a way to get it, or you'll find an excuse to not get it or to get out of it. But that is the quote, folks. If you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. And that, folks, is Off the Cuff's quote of the week. But folks, that pretty much wraps up another episode of Off the Cuff with Adam Banks for this week. I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in like you do loyally every single Thursday. If you liked what you heard today, you'll probably like our previous episodes. We are on podcast on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. You can follow the show on social media at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. You can follow me, the host, on social media at The Adam Banks. We release new episodes every Thursday from 4 to 5 right here on WLXU 93.9 FM, which means we will be back same time, same place. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Cuff, and I am Adam Banks, the king of radio. I will catch you next week on the next episode.